Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back in. Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website is 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up. I upload them into Audio Boom, but you can download them wherever you get your podcasts. We have the Eagles and Buccaneers, 6 o'clock pregame right after the show. And then once that's done, they'll jump into Rams and Bengals joined in progress. So another double Monday night football. Somebody asked me about that today. What do I think? I'm like, I don't know why we need two Monday night games, especially only an hour apart. Seems weird. Especially since we have a Thursday night game as well. So later in the season, you're going to get Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But they don't have these double hitters all the way through, I do not think. But I don't know. Maybe it's NFL. I don't think the NFL can do any wrong. I think the NFL is even on a higher plateau today. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Is it the biggest news on the planet? I'm assuming. Sitting up in the box with Mama Kelce. Listen, at best, looking at this, they're like, they're friends. Travis Kelce's a cool dude. He's like, hey, you know what? I can get her to come and go to a game, and she's going to enjoy Kansas City. The crowd's going to love her. It's a little overblown, but I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious. And with all the other not so great things going on in sports and around the world, what's the worst thing a Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, he's once again, he's a cool dude. I mean, he doesn't, maybe she's going, you know what, the whole rock star and superstar, and that didn't work. So, you know, how about an athlete? And you can't get any cooler than him. A great game by Kansas City. We're going to talk some NFL. I'm going to start with college football here in just a second. But we're going to talk some NFL. And after the first couple of weeks in the NFL, during the show last week, I'm like, you know what? You're going to have to slow your roll a little bit. You can't be saying that these teams are unbelievable and they're just going to walk through the season. It doesn't happen that way. And, you know, we're three games in. Do we know more three games in than we did one and two games in? Yes. I still think it's a little early, but we'll get into that as well. We're going to talk. We've got Iowa Hawkeye talk. We got Iowa State Cyclone talk. You and I Panthers had a bye week this week, so they'll be back in the saddle again this week. So very excited to have J.W. Cox back on again tomorrow. Once again, director of broadcasting and the voice of the UNI Panthers. I do believe that Scott is in here with me tomorrow, and then he has travel plans on Wednesday, Thursday. So we'll see how that goes. I have travel plans on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, going to Oklahoma to watch the Oklahoma Sooners and the Iowa State Cyclones. Thanks to my buddy T, and appreciate that, and looking forward to that. I guess I'll start with the easy one. I'll start with Iowa State. Had a great time. Oklahoma State fans are really, really cool. I don't know if they'd be really cool if we were down in the stadium. We had a whole bunch of them that were tailgating by us, and I went around and I shook hands with everybody, kind of in a little bit I don't know, just friendliness. I don't know if anyone's been watching pro sports and college sports and all these fights in the stands and throwing punches, male, females, kids, everybody's throwing. I'm like, what the heck? And not young people, not always young people either. I'm like 57 years old. I'm not throwing down with anybody. But it's really crazy how all of that is happening. But I just want to, because you see that. So I just, listen, I went up, I shook their hands. Great to have you guys here. I'm super, super excited that people travel to go to these college football games. It's a big deal. And here's the crazy thing. You know, we were coming off, you know, first game of the year, you and I, and you're tailgating up in Ames. And it seemed really busy. And then last weekend, with it being the University of Iowa, crazy. I mean, it was crazy busy. And everything going on and all the stuff, it's just I'm trying to think how to explain it, but you come back and you have Oklahoma State, and it didn't seem busy at all. Tailgating didn't seem busy. I mean, it was busy, but it didn't seem like a normal. And you're like, I wonder if there's a lot of people just didn't come to the game. It's a beautiful day. And then you come in and you get into the stadium, and there was threat of weather, and we kind of got inside in Sioux Cup and had tables, but you know, we could have sat inside, we could have sat outside. It was beautiful. But you walked out into the stadium and it was packed. So I have no idea where everybody was. It just didn't seem like it was that busy, but it was full. And exciting game. Oklahoma State started off the scoring, and kudos to them. It was an interesting game, and then once you get through all the, you know, the first quarter jitters, you're trying to figure out, you know, what's the game going to look like. And then to be really truthful, I think that Iowa State, their defense set the game up, and their offense turned around really quickly. And it was a fun game. It was a fun game to be there. It was a fun game to watch. And you saw some things. You saw some things that are going to make you happy, and things that you can build on, which is more than we could say for the week before. And so that was a little bit of my commentary through some of the games. And it just looked like we had a whole different attitude. And I'm in it to win it for that. You know, you have to be able to, adjust. You have to be able to go through. I get what everybody's saying. You need to show improvement every week. And I was good with that. But then I started after the game. I mean, it was, I actually don't think the game was as close as it was, but it was 34-27. I think we had kind of our foot there the whole entire time. Here's the thing that I don't understand, and we're going to have this conversations with the Cyclones and about the Hawkeyes when that comes up here in a second, is I'm assuming that Oklahoma State is a better football team than Miami of Ohio. And we pushed our will on Oklahoma State all day. Defensively, offensively, special teams, everything. And it just makes you think, if it was 25% more last week of I mean, this week you had 38. You had 38 passes. You had 34 rushes. If last week that was somewhere near the same, what is the difference in that game? And was it just you had to? And I guess that's my biggest takeaway from this for Iowa, Iowa State, you and I, everybody, is after three games, I still don't know if we know what we have. because I think we played really well against a UNI team. I think I was not upset with the way that we played against Iowa. Watching Iowa play yesterday, I wish we would have played better. I wish we'd have pushed more there too. The Miami of Ohio game is the one that's giving me all the problems. I'm like, that's a game on the road with this team that we needed to start putting trust into people, and it seemed like we didn't do it. And then we came home, and all of a sudden, it was there. I don't think losing that game put trust in for everybody. I mean, it's a big difference from being 2-2 and being 3-1 and not getting beat by a team that shouldn't have beat us. That's going to, you know, if we come and have the season that we want to have, that loss is going to hurt. Because the UNI win doesn't really count, and that loss is going to hurt. So after watching them play and watching both sides of the ball and all of that, I'm like, you know, did something just click this week? Or was it just, okay, we can't slowly put this stuff anymore, man. We gotta know if Rocco can go. And I'm 27-38 for 348 yards against another Big 12 team. I don't care what Big 12 team. Another Big 12 team is a huge deal. I think the most interesting thing of all of it is the amount. I mean, Iowa State played really, I thought, defensively on getting stops. I thought we did a really good job. I mean, we gave up a lot of yards. They had 278 in the air, but we picked off two passes, huge deal. And they ran for 131. We ran for 74, which I'm okay with that. It kept them off balance. Eli Sanders kind of led the way, 3.9 average. You know, there's just not extreme amount of holes yet. We need to do a better job. I think one of the things that I'm looking towards is with Eli, with Abu, we have to do a better job of getting them passes out of the backfield. Abu picked up 21 yards on one pass. Eli Sanders picked up 18 on two. I think that's huge. Jalen Noel, amazing, had a great game. Daniel Jackson had a great game as well. I thought Rocco did a really good job. No interceptions, 27-38. And some of those 11 incompletions, nobody was open, and he just got rid of the ball. That's what you want to do. He's a freshman quarterback. That's what you want your freshman quarterback to do. And I thought he performed well. So when he goes into tape and he sees Oklahoma, is Oklahoma going to be a tough game? Absolutely, it's going to be a tough game. And it's in Oklahoma. But we've done this before. We've been there before. We know what it's like to do it. I feel better than I did going in playing Oklahoma State at home after what happened the week before. So I think with all of that and everything, I think the coaches they've gotten more trust from the team. I think the team has gotten more trust from the coaches. Sitting as a fan, and I know nobody cares that we're fans. Well, we all do. And I even get to do even one more. I get to talk about it as a fan. And as a fan, I feel more comfortable. Does that mean that we're going to beat Oklahoma? I have no idea, but it makes me feel a lot better. Oklahoma State is a big team and it is a good team. They're 2-2. We're 2-2. The only difference now is we got a conference win, and that's the most important thing. And when you're looking around the rest of the Big 12, are there tough games? Yes. Are there more winnable games than what we thought? I believe so. I wanted to get to 6 wins. I think 6 and 7 wins. I think there's a path to do that. And I think the path either widens or it narrows a little bit on how we go as a team into Oklahoma. I mean, I would, if I'm Iowa State right now and I'm going through pre-practice this today, and going over game plans and stuff, and I mean, I'm throwing the disrespect card out there. I'm like, okay, really? That's where you're going to put us. It's a 20-point game. I think the spread's 20, unless it's gone up. I don't think that that is where that game should be. I think we're a better team than that. I think we have a better defense than that. And I can't wait to see what happens. Because I don't think, in the whole scheme of things, that, I mean, the Sooners are, they're 4-0. And they have a win over Arkansas State. They have a win over SMU. They have a win over Tulsa. And they won 20-6 against Cincinnati. I think that, I mean, it's a 20 point spread, and they didn't beat, I don't know. It irritates me a little bit on how they do spreads, but I think they also do spreads trying to get the most amount of money put on there. And I think Iowa State fans probably are going to be up for that. I'm excited. I get to go. I've driven by. I've never been into the stadium, so I'm excited about getting to go. That's the funnest thing, and I mean it's going to change when we add all the new teams, but it's really fun. I got to do it with my son playing baseball. We did the Big 12 trip all the way down to Dallas Baptist, and it was a lot of fun. It's going to be a good time, and hopefully it's going to be a really good game. All right, so that takes care of the Cyclone talk. Now we have to take care of the Iowa Hawkeye talk. And I'm probably going to surprise you with some of the stuff I'm going to say, because I see an out, and I see a couple of things that you should be almost excited about. You're listening to Steen on Sports. I'm bringing sports your way every day right here on 101. I hope everybody had a great day. Drive safely home. We are rolling along here. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3. 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Twitter's at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Eagles, Buccaneers tonight. We'll talk about that game a little later. Rams, Bengals following that game. Everybody is sitting on pins and needles waiting to bet that game, but everybody's waiting to see who's quarterbacking Cincinnati. Game time decision, so still out there. It's going to be fun to see how much that changes the line out there the longer that we go. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts there. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the BizBuzz blog for the business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. You can also walk in and talk to all the wonderful people that are there. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on. Member FDIC. Okay. So we talked about the Iowa State game. I'm excited about the win. We played better. I liked where the trust factor was with the offense. And I think Oklahoma State may be a better football team than many people think. I think we're a better football team than many people think. And the game was probably closer than I thought. The 37-24, I thought we kind of handled the game, and it was nice. So I wanted to go through. So let's start with the Iowa game. And here's, I guess, I'm not positively sure where everybody wants to go. You can tell people are frustrated. Listen, I've had David Eicholt on this show for a long time. I've been doing this for 5 years, almost 5 years. And one of the things has always been, when you play top tier teams, the Iowa's offense just doesn't, it doesn't give itself any room. It has to be perfect. And it has to be perfect they have to be perfect to keep up with the defense, to keep them in the game, and they're needing the defense to score. And that's not easy to do with some of these teams that were that the Iowa Hawkeyes are playing. This kind of just brings the day up. They had 0 points. They had seven punts. They had 79 total yards. They had 23 rushing, 56 passing, and they were 1 of 9 on third down. And that's with not the clamoring and people and ready to do whatever because of what they did the first three games, which in those first three games, their offense was not good in any of those games. And the difference between this year and last year, their defense is still a top defense in the country, probably top 10, but they're not as good as they were last year. And so that even puts more pressure on the Iowa football team's offense. This is from Chad Litzigow. Iowa wakes up today with the number 131 FBS offense out of 133. On a worse pace than last year, the player personnel has changed, but the results are very familiar. Iowa's offense versus Penn State. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They had 10 possessions. Punt, fumble, punt, 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 fumble, punt, fumble. So I want to get past all the stuff with Brian Ferentz and all the things, even though I still believe that for the good of the program, Sue Getz could go in. She has capital built up here. I think she's doing a great job. I think she's going to keep the job. Her work working with people for NIL is going to sway the people at the university and all the fans and all whoever. And if she had any naysayers, just how she's handling that is exactly what you want your athletic director to do. Here's the thing. This is an outsider looking in, and I'm not that big an outsider. I had to tell this story. Until my kids, even a little bit more than that, probably before that, I watched Iowa State. I was an Iowa Hawkeye fan because I didn't know any different. And I'm still an Iowa Hawkeye basketball fan, especially an Iowa Hawkeye women's basketball fan. And you don't have any bigger wrestling fan than you do me for the Iowa Hawkeyes. I love watching the Brands brothers. I think they're amazing. All of us are looking at this as this is a Brian Ferentz problem. It's not a Brian Ferentz problem. It's a Kirk Ferentz problem. If Kirk Ferentz was unhappy with the way the offense is going and the way the team is going, then he has every option at his fingertips. I truthfully do not believe that his reputation is less to him than his son being the offensive coordinator or not being the offensive coordinator. The fact after last year, even with bringing in the new people, that everything stayed the same, it should have worried people. This is a team, and because of Kirk Ferentz, this is a team that has been known forever of high-end, athletic, great run-blocking and pass-blocking offensive linemen. And after Tyler Lindenbaum left, it's a mess. That's his specialty, offensive line. If there's no hole, I mean, this is like me as an Iowa State fan looking at that game last weekend and watching this game and seeing all that. You thought, because even they had yardage against Iowa State. Not a lot of yardage, but they had some yardage. But for everybody out there saying this is just a Brian Ferentz problem, it's not just a Brian Ferentz problem. It can't be. It can't be. These kids care too much. And I cannot believe in my heart of hearts that Brian Ferentz is the only one that's putting an offensive game plan together. I mean, if you're worried about turnovers, you had three fumbles. At least if you had three interceptions, you were throwing the ball down the field. You as a team, the coaching staff as a team, never at any point in that game gave their football team a chance to win or a chance to think they could win. And that's the part where you can start to lose the team. And it's exactly the same thing that I said about Matt Campbell last week. That's a part of watching a football game that you start to believe, hey, the kids are going to go, what the hell are we doing? So now you have the capability to make those changes because you don't. Now comes when all this has to come together. That was, I don't know how big a game the Michigan, I know how big a game it is. It's a huge game because you have to win and it's at home. You get Michigan State at home, you get Purdue at home. Then you have another tough game. The Wisconsin game is probably the most important game on this schedule because they're in the West with you, because Northwestern shouldn't be that big a deal. Maryland, I think, may be the surprise team. Can they beat big time teams? I don't know, but I think Iowa's pretty happy. They don't have to play Maryland. You don't have to play Michigan. Illinois is mediocre at best. Rutgers is mediocre at best, but are going to give you a game. They're going to make you earn it. Minnesota, they're 1-1 and 2-2. I mean, Northwestern is not much of a game, and I Purdue is not much of a game. I mean, you can get right there. Michigan State, with all the turmoil and everything they have going on, I don't know what you're going to get. And you're coming, they're coming to Iowa City. So I think that's a win. I think Purdue's a win. I think Wisconsin's going to be tough, and that's the win you need. And I think Minnesota, it's in Iowa City. Northwestern's in Iowa City. Rutgers is in. I'm trying to see here. Yeah, Rutgers. They have that many home games in a row? That is crazy. Unless this is wrong. Wow. And the game with Nebraska at the end of the year, that matters. But at some point in time, and there's no use talking about any. The defense was on the field a ton of time. So the defense is just fine. The offense has to help. If you're looking at those games, no matter what happens, at the end of the year, you have to play either Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. You have to play one of them. And over the last 5, 6, 7 times, those aren't games. You have to figure something out. And I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to, I mean, I'm looking at team stats right now in this game. We had 4 first downs. We were 1 of 9 on third down. We had 76 total yards, 56 in the air, 3.5 yards per pass. Running the ball was 1.2. We only gave up 3.8, but they ran the ball all day because they could. They ran for 215. They rushed 57 times for 215. The defense was exhausted. They rushed 57 times and they threw the ball 40 times. They were out there for over 100 snaps are right at 100 snaps. We had four penalties. We had four turnovers, four fumbles. No picks. 6 of 16 on throws. I get it. Penn State is a good team. It was their big whiteout game. It's Iowa Hawkeye football. We've come to expect more in big games with Iowa Hawkeye football. And the thing that's hanging over all of this is coach and coach's son, and oh my gosh, we're right back where we were. Somebody has to change the narrative. I don't know how you change the narrative without letting go or changing or moving somebody differently, change call play. I don't know what you do, but you need to do something. And it's not going to be based on wins and losses. You're winning. You're favored in every single game, probably except for the Wisconsin game. The rest of your schedule, you're favored for. So losses that come up when you're favored, that's even a bigger concern for people. This is too talented of a football team. They have too many good people on this team. They have too many great defensive players. And that was the hardest thing for everybody, is the defense thinks they let people down, except for they were on the field for 100 plays. That's where you get splits in locker rooms. That's where you get when you have those things. And that's what you get from the fans, because we as fans do not want to blame these kids. These are college athletes. They're 18 to 22 years old. We don't want to do that. And it's not fun to talk about the coaching staff, and it's not fun to yell and scream and do all that to the coaching staff as well. But that's where it stops. Being a fan's not easy. Having to live with fans is not easy. And that's the part. They don't think against good teams that we have a hope. There was no hope on Saturday. So it has to get turned around, and it has to be real. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing you sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Going to go over some college football picks I had this week and then head into the NFL. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Last segment of this first hour on our Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. We are going to get the Eagles and Buccaneers right after the show. Westwood won. And then you're going to be joined in progress with the Rams and Bengals. Once again, I'm going to say it, not a big fan of two Monday night games. But hey, what can we do about it? They're not going to listen to us. Anyway, this segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, providing, designing, engineering, install, program, and service HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities, development, project management, field jobs, service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation manufacturing company. Outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. There we go. Have to be able to read today. It is Monday. It's been a while. 3 days. You never know what can happen in 3 days. You can forget how to read. I want to thank Woodman Controls for being a part of our program. Okay, so we had some games that I went over this past weekend. So on the college football, First one I had up, I had Wisconsin and Purdue. I took the points with Wisconsin and took the over, won both of those. Michigan and Rutgers, I took the over, and I did not, so that made me 2-1. Florida State, Clemson, I got the over, and Florida State with a huge, trying to check to see what the final was. I got too many games on here. Florida, it was 31-24. So that is some crazy. That was a crazy game too. A lot of these games were really good game. Oklahoma at Cincinnati. I took the over. It was an under. And I pushed on the 14 as well. And listen, I get that Cincinnati didn't win this game, but I thought they played pretty well. You're going to. I mean, it's going to take a while for some of these new teams to figure it all out, but I think that they're going to get there pretty quick. I had the Auburn and what did I have here? I had Auburn and Texas A&M. I took Auburn, lost. I took the under, won, kind of figured that one. TCU, I took TCU. And I took the under, won the under by a couple of points. So I was pretty excited about that. Oregon, Colorado, I took, and I'm going to talk about that game at some point today. I took the Ducks. They were at home. I took the 21. I took the under. I got both of those. UCLA, Utah. I picked Utah to win that game, and I took the under. I felt pretty good about that game. Utah won 14-7, so I won both of those. The Ole Miss Alabama game, I took Alabama on points. I won that. I took the over, lost that. Should have known better. I had Kansas, Kansas BYU, and that game was 38-27. Kansas was 9.5, so I lost that, and I took the under, which was 55, and it was 65. So that was my first double L. Oklahoma State and Iowa State was a I had to see what the spread was, because I didn't write it on there. And there, so 34. So the over was, I took the over, and it was 51, so I won that, and I had Iowa State 3.5, and I got that one as well. So a couple of wins there. I'll take that. I wish I would have bet more of these games. I had a good. So I told somebody today I won 12 bets in a row yesterday, and then the next two bets I bet 10 times. I used a couple of my, it was a $25 bet. I win, I get the winnings. If I lose, they put it right back. They put it right back in. So my two losses, I didn't lose anything. So I was really okay with the majority of my weekend and my sports betting. It was better than most. NFL was a little tough, even though I still didn't do bad in NFL betting as well. I did want to mention one thing, because I mentioned Northwestern and Minnesota. And even with everything that's going on in all these places, and it's difficult, and, you know, for some of these teams that are there. I mean, Northwestern beat Minnesota at home in overtime. Kudos to Northwestern. You know, that's the thing with Michigan State. You don't know where the locker room is with Michigan State with all the things that have gone on. I mean, that's the difficult thing that you, not that you have control over it as professional football players with all the with all the things that are going on, but it's also more of a job. I mean, you're getting paid to do a job. So I don't think it's as big a deal, but for some of these teams having to go through all the stuff that they're going through, I'm excited for some of them that things are kind of going their way. So I was happy for that. A great game this weekend, once again, high scoring, Kansas State and Central Florida. Kansas State won that game 44-31. I split that game as well. I had the over. I actually thought UCF would play a little bit better than they did, but I kind of figured it was going to be an over game. Oregon State, Washington State, I pushed on that and lost with the under, and they scored some points. I won the Ohio State Notre Dame. I felt really bad for Notre Dame. They needed a couple more plays. I thought they were going to beat Ohio State, and they just couldn't get over that hump. And I felt bad for them. But it's a very interesting week coming up. And the one game, and I still have not found, and I feel bad, and it's one of those days today that the Wi-Fi in the studio is not as fast. There it is. So the Arkansas-LSU game was 34-31, and I felt bad for Arkansas. I thought they had that game. I felt really bad for them. I really like Brian Kelly as a coach. I liked him when he was at Notre Dame. I liked him when he was at Cincinnati. I liked that he went to LSU, but I don't know how long LSU fans, because he's going to lose one of those games as much as he pulled out a win in one of those games. And LSU did something. I mean, they had a big lead. Not a big lead, but they had a, what do we have, 16. They were up 24-16 going into the fourth quarter and gave up 15 points. They missed a couple of two-point conversions there. Or that's a game that they're not going to be enjoying. So there was a ton of good games this weekend. And I think that it continues because You're stepping up again when we go into this week. You have a bunch of let me pull them up here. We have a bunch of really good football games this week in college football. Again, starting with Utah Oregon State. That's a huge game for Utah on the road. They're 4-0. Oregon State's 3-1. Cincinnati BYU is a big game for both the new people coming in. USC at Colorado, and I'm gonna talk about Dion, USC, the game they had, the game they have coming up, and the smack talk coming from the coaches who are winning, and I would be very careful in doing that. Most of the talk is, well, Deion Sanders doesn't care because he's not going to be there. He's going to go to the NFL or he's going to go to a better NCAA school. I don't think he's going to get a better place than Colorado. Easy to recruit. It's a really cool place. And he's not going to the NFL because it doesn't work in the NFL that way. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We're taking a deep dive into the NFL and what hour already. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. We have Eagles Buccaneers tonight at 6 and then joined in progress Rams at Bengals. I'll give you my take on those two games tonight. The Bengals game is still up in the air. It so matters if Joe Burrow is playing, and even if Joe Burrow is playing, that is not fun to have a calf that you can't push off on and you can't maneuver around on, and you have Aaron Donald and that crew. That is not something that people are going to want to they're not going to want to bet on that game. So this segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provides quality, health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa and the Midwest. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, providing peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Okay, so the week started off last week. It started on Thursday. Who did we have? I can't even see. There's the Thursday game. It was the Giants and the 49ers. I had the 49ers and the over. It cleared the over by a point. I won both of those. Moving along, Titans and the Browns. I had the Browns minus 3.5, and I had the under, which was 39.5. So I won both of those. That was a game I bet over the weekend as well. The Falcons and the Lions. I took the Lions minus 3. I won that. I did take the over, and they missed the over by 20. So that was a big L. The Saints and the Packers. I had the Packers minus 1, so I pushed. I had 42.5, not even close. The Broncos and the Dolphins. I had the Dolphins and the over. That was halftime. I was good to go. I don't think it was probably halftime, but it was 35. It was almost at halftime. Chargers and the Vikings. I had the Vikings minus 1. Boy, did they need T.J. Hockenson to catch that pass. And I do not believe this is going to happen because it doesn't happen in the NFL. But if there was ever a time where a quarterback could be traded in the middle of the season, and it happens. The Vikings are 0-3. If they can make somebody take Kirk Cousins and pay some of that contract, it's never going to happen. But if you're the New York Jets and you have a team that you have, and the only thing that you're missing to be a way better team than you are, and you're 1-2, so you're not out of it. You just need someone that understands football better. I don't know what Zach Wilson's going to be. I don't know if he's ever going to play. I don't know if he's going to play 10 more games in the NFL. But you can tell that any point in time that he sees something that's not in his ear or something needs to be changed, he is lost. Pretty sure that's not a good way to be a tier one quarterback in the NFL, and it shows. So I lost both of the Vikings because it was 52 and the over was 54. Patriots and the Jets. I had the Patriots and the under. I won both of those. What a boring game that was too. The Bills and the Commanders. I had the Bills minus 6. That was pretty easy. And I had the under. I won both of those. And the only reason I had the under was I don't know what happened to the Commanders' offense and defense and a whole bunch of other things, but boy, was that bad. And I heard this a lot on the radio today. Oh, Josh Allen, great game, great game, great game. He threw for 218 yards, had a touchdown and another pick. It's the turnovers that everybody are worried about with Josh Allen. This is the game that totally blew up the whole weekend. The Houston Texans putting 37 on the Jags. So I lost both of those games. And I don't know if it's Doug Peterson. I don't know. Their defense cannot stop anybody. And Trevor Lawrence had three long passes, wide receivers three steps ahead, and all three wide receivers dropped the ball. He can't overcome that. The Colts and the Ravens, I had the under and the Ravens. Todd Molkin, hello. You got to do something. So I won the under. That's pretty easy when with those games. I lost the other. Seattle against the Carolina Panthers. I took the Seahawks, and I took the over, won both of those. If you're looking at quarterback play, C.J. Stroud of the Texans, Bryce Young of the Panthers, C.J. Stroud is the quarterback of that class. And I sat here, other people sat here, but NFL people look at things differently, and once they're on something, they don't drop off of it. And they were on Bryce Young, and they were on Anthony Richardson. I watched C.J. Stroud against Georgia, against a almost an NFL defense. And by all said and done, probably every single one of those players at some point in time is going to play in the NFL. And he played so well that I thought, okay, that's manageable. You can do that. I had the over, and the Chiefs way over the Bears. Here's the thing, and I don't want people to lose their jobs, but it's not even a cliche. It's just something that you say. If there was ever a point in time that a coach should not have a job, it's after a game like that. It's one thing to blame Matt Eberflus for the Justin Fields and how to work with Justin Fields. He brought in Luke Getsy and saying, okay, I need you to work with him. We need to work in a parameter, but if we can't, we're going to have to go back. That's perfectly fine, and you can keep tweaking Justin Fields. Your defensive coordinator and your defense is horrific. That was embarrassing. On the Dallas Cowboys game, I took the over. That's a win. I had the spread was 43. They got to 44. A loss on the Cowboys. And here's the thing. And I apologize, T, for this. I said, that was a lot of talk about the Cowboys after two games against two really, really, really bad football teams. And ESPN gets excited because when the Cowboys are good, ESPN's good. Because then all the talking, they can talk about the Cowboys. And when people can talk positive about the Cowboys, and it's good. They're the best team. It's not even close. And not happening. They saw yesterday that is if you don't have scared quarterbacks, Daniel Jones and a New York Jet quarterback, if you don't have scared quarterbacks and you run the ball when they think you're going to pass and you're going to pass the ball when they think you're going to run because they love to try to guess and guess right because guess what the Cowboys like to do as a defense? They like to sack people. They like to push people backwards. They got ran on for 178 yards. 178 yards. That is crazy talk. And almost three quarters of that, I think they might have ran for more than that because I thought somebody said last night, and I might have misheard, that they had 178 yards rushing at halftime. That wasn't a close game. That wasn't as close as 28-16. And here's the issue. Dak Prescott needing a drive, drove him down the field, and then right when you're getting ready to go into score, makes that one bad pass. The worst pass of the day, probably his worst pass in the last 10 games, threw an interception in the end zone. And the only two people that were there where he was throwing the ball were two Arizona people. They're just lucky they didn't run into each other. And last but not least, I had the Steelers minus 2.5. I barely got that because the Raiders are just not a good football team. and I took the under, and I lost that because they were at 44, and the under was at 43. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Had 14 wins. -14 because I had some pushes in here. So not bad. Eagles and the Bucks tonight. I took the Bucks -5. And I took the under. I think that's what people forget, how good. Now the Philadelphia offense could come out on fire tonight, but I don't know if that's gonna work. But their defense is really good. And the Rams and the Bengals. Joe Burrow plays, I'm taking the over. If Joe Burrow doesn't play, I'm taking the Rams and the under. Because I Cincinnati's going to be at a little bit of a loss if they can't work that through. It's not going to be an easy game for those guys tonight. So right now Philadelphia, they have them as 5.5 and the over under at 44. So they each, one went up a half and one went down a point. And then the Rams Bengals, they have Cincinnati -3 right now and the over under at 45. If Joe Burrow doesn't play, that has to change. And not that, I mean, Cincinnati has them at home. It's not indoors. It's not, you know, the thing, but the Rams are 1-1. They're playing pretty well. It's going to be interesting to see where this game goes tonight, because if the Bengals go 0-3, that's tough to come back from. And if Joe Burrow, see, they're damned if they do and damned if they don't tonight also. If he goes back out again and he loses a game and he even hurts his calf more, so they really don't know, then you go 0-3, and now you're probably looking at 5 games he's going to be out. And here's the thing that was talked about a lot today. 32 teams in the NFL. High-end, trusting, give them the keys and let them run. There's 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Maybe you get another 10 that you can scheme and win games, especially against teams that don't have one of those 10. So there's 22. So then you have 10. You have 10 football teams in the NFL right now that at any given time have to think, I have no chance to win in the NFL because I don't have a quarterback. The New York Jets are one. The New England Patriots and Mac Jones is debatable. The Cincinnati Bengals without Joe Burrow is not pretty. I don't know what Kenny Pickett is. The fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Raiders yesterday, I don't think that states that they're back. But they're still 2-1. The Ravens should not have lost that game yesterday and had a couple more injuries. That puts them up to like 13. Had a couple of a face mask. And see, this can be my whining point. A face mask and a pass interference call in that last drive that weren't called. I don't know. The Indianapolis Colts are 2-1. How? The Houston Texans are 1-2. The Jags are 1-2. And the Tennessee Titans are 1-2. The Titans should be 0-3. I don't know if the Titans, they're not going to win 6 games. And it gets back to that. We've said it time and time again. They're playing like it's 1990. They have a quarterback that they can manage, and they have a big running back that they think that they can get 150 yards out of. That's not how this league works. You cannot average. They have scored 69 points and been outscored 122. They've been outscored by 53. The Giants have been outscored by 55. The Chicago Bears have been outscored by 59. You can't win in this league if you can't score. I mean, it's incredible. And if you take injuries out, I want to put Lamar Jackson in that 10. I mean, so Josh Allen is in that 10. Tua is in that 10. We'll talk about the Dolphins here in a second. Lamar Jackson's in there, so there's three. Joe Burrow, not until he's healthy. There, I mean, I can't even put Trevor Lawrence in there right now. Patrick Mahomes, for everybody who thought, oh my gosh, what are they going to do with that Detroit game? Except for he tweaked his ankle again yesterday. I love Justin Herbert. He would be four, but I can't put him in there because of his head coach. The Eagles have Jalen Hurts. I'm still in. The Cowboys have Dak Prescott. I'll be in. No. The Green Bay Packers, not yet. Jared Goff, not yet. Even though he's not far off. The Bears, no. The Vikings, Kirk Cousins doesn't trust the coaching staff. The coaching staff doesn't trust Kirk Cousins. Tampa Bay, no. Atlanta, no. New Orleans, no. Carolina, no. San Francisco, yes. They're six. I'm even going to give the Seahawks so he's a half. There's seven. And Matthew Stafford, if because of age, there's not even 10. There are not 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League that you can go, I can win a game based solely on what he does. Wow. That is not good for the number one sport in the country and close to the world as well. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Plenty more to talk about. Be right back. Back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great day as a Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. NFL football, Westwood won. Eagles, Buccaneers, Rams, Bengals. I just saw a picture of Joe Burrow walking gingerly, trying to skip a little bit. He's going to have to do more than that tonight against that Rams defense. He's a tough kid, a really good football player. But, man, do they have to be careful with that. That is not a something to be messing around with. So hopefully everything works out. This segment is going to be brought to you by Broadlawns Hospital, Broadlawns Medical Center, Broadlawns Clinic at the Drake area, and all the rest of their urgent care facilities, just their birthing center. There's just so many things to talk about and so little time, but in its infancy with this show, just being able to talk about them, excited, and just love being able to talk about something that's so... They're doing so much good, and they're doing it the right way, and it's very exciting. So extremely, extremely proud to be a big fan of Broadlawns. Just some quick things. This is Travis Hunter. So he's the Colorado football player that had a lacerated kidney. And so for all the people out there that, you know, Deion's Deion, he's just pushing these kids and blah, blah, blah. This is what he wrote to Deion. I need to play this week. I'm not taking no for an answer. And this was Deion's response. Your future is brighter than mine ever was. Relax and get healthy. I love you. I think that's pretty amazing. And for the Iowa Hawkeyes, so the things that we talk about in the last 2 years goes against a lot of other things that you have to talk about. The people that have come into the program and left the program and gone on to success doesn't match the numbers that people want to throw at the University of Iowa. And in numbers, this is how it gets that way. And I've said up until the end of this year, at points and times you can do that because they're in a division that they have had good luck against the people that are there. And so that always gives them a really good shot. Got to beat Wisconsin to go and play in the Big Ten championship game. Now, when they take divisions away, It's a totally different game. Who you play, when you play, how you play. The 12-team playoff is going to change the way that you schedule. You can't schedule three games at the beginning of the year against teams that are not, they have to be tougher games. Because now you have 12, and you have to have a resume to be able to get in. Here's the thing that we've never said about the Iowa Hawkeyes from early on to now. How many people they place in the NFL and how well at some of these positions they play. Right now, in the NFL, the Iowa Hawkeyes graduates, or at least through football, are the number one, number two, number four, and number 11 tight ends in the NFL. And it's led by a surprising one who happens to be on my fantasy football team, Sam Laporta, followed by TJ Hawkinson, George Kittle, and Noah Fant. We tend to forget about Noah Fant. He's had a couple of injuries that make it a little more difficult. But here's, and I heard people today on Sports Talk complaining about the Minnesota Vikings and their offense and Kirk Cousins and all that. The Minnesota Vikings right now are 0-3. They have scored 69 points and have given up 82 points. They're minus 13 in differential. The Minnesota Vikings are number one in passing yards, number one in receiving yards, and second in the league in sacks. And they are 0-3 with a 13-point differential. Coaching. It's coaching. Players play. Coaches scheme. Get plays. Make things work. When they don't, they have to switch it up. It's not the players. That is not a player 0-3 football team. That is a coaching 0-3 football team. The LA Chargers are 1-2. It's not because they don't have a good offense. It's not even because they don't have a good defense. They don't have... How's the easy way to put this? If you can complain about Zach Wilson and even to a certain point, Mac Jones or Bryce Young or Ryan Tannehill, you have to be able to do that about coaching too. I don't know how well they're coached, and I don't think their coach knows where to go. I don't think he understands. He doesn't get to have a season. He can't go over. He won a playoff game last year. And the town wants more than that. If they don't get this turned around, they're not making the playoffs. I don't know. It's good. I don't know. That's a difficult thing. I don't know. I don't know how you turn that around. And it's upside down right now. And I still have, so with the New England Patriots, I still have trust in Mac Jones. The play calling is better. They're still 1-2. They've still been outscored by 7 points. Mac Jones at times sometimes has the same problems, and that's people dropping passes. I mean, you have to work through that. And I don't know what you do to correct that in the middle of the season. But here's what I do know. That when you're looking at a couple of teams here, so I'm going to throw them out. When you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're looking at the Miami Dolphins, and you're looking at the Buffalo Bills, and you're looking at the Dallas Cowboys, and you're looking at the Green Bay Packers, and you're looking at the San Francisco 49ers, They are all above 40 points in point differential. That means if you can't score, you can't beat any of those teams. And if you can't score because you don't have a quarterback, they're not coming. I mean, you're seeing what the success rate of these rookie quarterbacks coming in. It's not good. It's not. You're not going to get a Trevor Lawrence all the time. I mean, to sit and listen to people, and this is exact words that they said about two different quarterbacks, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud lives in a system that's quarterback friendly and NCAA friendly, and I don't know what he can do. Bryce Young. We can overlook his smallness because he's used to having, this is the thing that they didn't say about C.J. Stroud, but they said about Bryce Young. He's accustomed to throwing to NFL receivers because he's had like seven of them. Well, so is C.J. Stroud. The difference, C.J. Stroud is big. Here's the thing that we forget about, that owners and general managers, just because they have money and just because they work for somebody that has money doesn't mean they're good. Because you can see this. So here's a funny thing today. The 2023 salary cap is $224.8 million. Today, the Green Bay Packers played and won a football game with $118.5 million, 53% of the cap space unavailable on the field. They have $60 million in dead money with Aaron Rodgers. They have $3.5 million with pup money, unable to perform. $1 million on injured reserve, and then they have $31, $39, $45, $50, $52 million of people that are hurt. And they're still 2-1 leading their division and outscoring opponents by 18. And the biggest question about the whole NFL for the whole weekend, in a nutshell, who's winning, Sean Payton or Russell Wilson? It's almost to a point where it looks like Sean Payton is trying to make Russell Wilson look bad. And 0-3 and being outscored by 53 points is making him look bad. But if you look at stats and you look at that, different things, he's not looking bad. I mean, and this came about today, and they talked about this, and I agree with this. The new owners of the Denver Broncos do not have a lack of money. And they like shiny things and they like good things, and he's not cheap and Russell Wilson's not cheap. I think Sean Payton took that job because there wasn't a lot of other jobs open that had what he thought was as much talent. And I don't think that he likes how Russell Wilson plays football. And I'm not saying that Russell Wilson isn't a brilliant guy, isn't a Hall of Famer. I think both of those are true. But his football savvy and Sean Payton's football savvy are not coexisting. They're not on the same page. Russell Wilson is not Drew Brees. I don't think I understand even what Russell Wilson is. And part of that, the difficulty part of all of this, is you have to be able to trust him. And I don't know if the people that need to trust him, trust him. And that's Sean Payton, the offensive players, the defensive players. I don't think that they trust him to call the plays. And that's happening all over. The people are saying Garrett Wilson should not throw another pass for the New York Jets. And there were times yesterday I'm buying in because I'm watching the game, I'm listening to the game, and he's back and he's got happy feet. He gets rid of the ball. He doesn't see open receivers. And when they're showing that from the back, looking what he's looking through, and 57-year-old eyes, not very good me, see open receivers running across the field and he has an open lane and he can't throw the ball, or you have open wide receivers, two open wide receivers on the right, and you've never even taken a glance to the right because the play was called to the left, you can't play football in the NFL. And I think that is where he's at until he can get somebody that trusts him or that he finds something. Because it is not pretty. It is not getting any better. And it is, I don't know. It is to a point where you have to, they can't bench Russell Wilson. They can bench Zach Wilson, but I don't, man, that's a lot. That's a big pick. That's a big pick. I don't know. This is an interesting one. Iowa has spent the last 28 games as a bottom 10 offense in the country. I didn't think it's been that long. That's a lot of games. 28 games. It's still early. There's three games. There are three games in. By the way, huge game for the Philadelphia Eagles tonight and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And just so I can jinx him, the simple fact that Baker Mayfield's been playing the way Baker Mayfield's been playing, I mean, they're plus 13 as well. I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to do. And I took the under in this game tonight because as good as I think that Philadelphia Eagles defense is, that Tampa Bay defense is just as good. And it's not going to be giving up a bunch of points tonight. I can almost guarantee you that. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I got one more segment. We have Eagles and Buccaneers coming up right after this show. We're going to join in progress the Rams and Bengals. Plenty more NFL. One more segment. I'll be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. Last segment on this Monday. You are listening to Steen on Sports. 101.3, 1700, the Champ. Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up. You can download them. You can go to the 1700thechamp.com. You can go anywhere that you download your podcast. We have Eagles, Buccaneers, and Rams, Bengals tonight. Rams, Bengals will be joined in progress. Just came across, not official. And if I'm the Cincinnati Bengals, I don't know if I agree with this one, but it looks like even though he's not healthy, it looks like he is going to give it a try tonight. So that's a scary proposition. There's a lot of people that think that he should already be sitting and got healthy and then try to see what happens. If he gets hit a couple times or takes off and can't, and he's limping around, that could make him 2, 3, 4, 5 more games. And if you're the Cincinnati, I mean, I get why they're doing it. 0-2, they're in a heap of trouble. Well, if they go 0-3 and he can't play for the next three games, they're even in bigger trouble. So I don't know. I finally found someone that looks at this as much as I do. I like Ryan Clark. He gets it. He was an NFL player. He understands a lot of things. And like, listen, The entire country, this is what he said, the entire country tuned in to watch Oregon football beat the Colorado Buffaloes. And Dan Lanning made it a point to tell everyone what he thought about the Buffs doing it for clicks. I'm here to inform, Dan, so did you. You invited the cameras into your locker room to go viral, and congrats, you did. Did it your way, not at Deion Sanders' way. Because he brought it in and made it personal. Because they're not there for clicks. I mean, that's what he, you know, they're doing it for wins, they're doing it for clicks. And this is what Ryan Clark said, and this is what I believe, and I know there's some people that don't, but I truly do. Deion Sanders doesn't tear down others to build himself up. And one of the reasons that he had some people that didn't like him when he first came there, he wasn't cutting other people down. He was just making sure that everybody knew that he was the best at what he does. And he was the best at what he did for a long time. He doesn't speak on other teams, other coaches, because he doesn't need to. I get it seems Hollywood when the biggest stars keep their eyes on you, but make no mistake about it, Dan, you were concerned with those eyes as well, and you just knew you weren't getting as many. I read you what he said about his great player, and he goes, your career, your future career is more important than this career right now. You're not healthy. You're out for what we told you you're out for. We will be just fine. This isn't about going to the college football playoff game. That's not what this was about. I sat across from my buddy going, and I still don't think I've changed his mind on Deion. And Scott said, it's too much. But he knew what he had to do. He had to go somewhere where they were going to give him leeway to be him. And Colorado said, we have not been relevant forever. What do you need? I got to be able to come in, and if it isn't working, I need to start going out and getting kids. Fine. That's good. I'm never going to embarrass you. I'll never embarrass this program. I'm here for these kids. Sit here, watch me. Even when I'm telling some kids they're not going to make it here and they're going to have to go find someplace else, I'm going to do it in a loving and a father way. And he did all of that. People haven't liked Deion from the beginning. But you can't not understand his greatness. Does it work for everybody? No, it doesn't. But neither does Bill Belichick, and neither does Andy Reid, and neither did Tom Landry, and neither did Chuck Knoll. They always had people that couldn't fit. Chuck Knoll had to change his whole coaching for Terry Bradshaw. Hated doing it. Didn't understand. Couldn't make plays. Won the winningest football quarterback ever. That's what you have to do. It's not just Deion. Jerry Rice went to Mississippi Valley State. Nobody gave him a chance. He can't beat me in a race. I heard people say it. And he came out and was one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. There's stories like that over and over and over and over and over again. It depends on how hard you work. It depends on how much time and effort you put into film and working out and staying in shape. The guy's out here with half a foot. You know the best thing for Deion Sanders is not being a head football coach in NCAA Division I football, not with all that he has going wrong with him in his system because of football and everything else. But that's his passion. Let the man have his passion. It's okay. He doesn't have to be like everybody else. He doesn't have to even think about being like everybody else. He doesn't need to. I talked about this earlier. I want to finish with this. Finish this point. Texans rookie C.J. Stroud has 906 yards passing yards in his first three NFL starts. It is the third player in NFL history that's done that, Cam Newton and Justin Herbert. and this is not on a good Houston Texans team. It's going to be a rebuild, going to be a really good football team, and it's going to make a difference. And they have a lot of people that are going to make a difference. You just wait, and it's going to be fun to watch. And one more time on Zach Wilson. We talked about him today as well. This isn't about the person, Zach Wilson. He seems like a good kid, level-headed. Hey, I was bad yesterday. This is what I saw. I can't wait to see film because what I saw isn't what they were telling me, and I need to figure this out. He's going to keep going and keep going. Listen, there are more quarterbacks in the NFL that fail than succeed. There's more quarterbacks in the NFL who fail than there are people who are mediocre and have 12-year careers. It is not an easy job. Not at all. The people are having trouble with Josh McDaniels doing it the Bill Belichick way, not going out on a limb. And it kind of Jeffrey Benson, he was with, oh no, I lost it. Nope. There it is. NFL organizations spend thousands of hours a season preparing, game planning, and practicing to make the most optimal and EV choices possible, only to have their coach willingly throw away 5 to 10% of win probability every week based on conventional wisdom and groupthink. The Raiders kick on 4th and 4 at the Pittsburgh 8, being down 2 scores with less than 2 minutes. All 3 timeouts, they said, to go for it, the winning probability to go for it was 16.8%. The winning part by making a kick, you only are going to win 2.4% of the time. So he had 7 times as much of a chance if he would have went for it than if he did not. I don't know what you do. I don't know how you fix that. It's going to be a difficult proposition for the New York Jets because they have nowhere to go. They didn't believe that having Mike White there and having a 3-quarterback room with Aaron Rodgers was going to be worth it, so they traded him. Here's a big one, and it's for the state of Iowa, and it's for Class 3A and 4A state baseball. It is returning to Veterans Stadium in Cedar Rapids. I think that is pretty interesting. The Iowa Hawkeyes are redoing the baseball fields at the end of baseball season this year. So they are not available for that. And here's another one. This doesn't happen in Iowa High School with the Iowa High School Associations very often as well. Grandview Christian Boys had asked the Iowa High School Association to be bumped up to Class 2A for the next 2 seasons, and they granted their wish. I thought that was a really good thing. Okay, and I'm going to save this one for tomorrow, so Scott can come in here and we can talk about some of this stuff because I missed having his opinion today. All right, it was a pleasure to be in here with you. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I'll be back in here tomorrow. I will see you then.